Good morning, YouTube, and good morning, Facebook. Today is the 11th of January, 2020, and it's Saturday morning. Hope you're having a good weekend so far. And if I were to entitle this little devotional this morning, I will entitle it, When Our Flesh's Intentions Take, when our intentions don't line up with our spirit, when the flesh influences our intentions. You know, I believe that God sends people into our lives to teach us things. Of course, we always measure everything by the Bible, right? We always measure everything by the Bible. And, you know, sometimes you might be around someone, a family member or something, and you'll hear them talking to themselves, you know, and think, what are they talking to themselves about? Well, every morning, this devotion, I'm talking to myself, okay? I'm talking to myself. When our spiritual intentions don't line up with our fleshly intentions, when the spirit warreth against the flesh, you know, how many times have we seen someone, maybe a family member or someone who has a problem with alcohol, and how it affects their judgment processes? You know, they say, well, it lowers your inhibitions. Well, maybe a better way of saying is that it promotes the lust of the flesh. It promotes the lust of the flesh. I've heard people brag about, oh, I can drink a, you know, six pack and it doesn't even affect me. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. And alcohol affects a person's judgment. People say, well, it lowers your inhibitions. Yeah, it promotes the flesh, doesn't it? And it also has an impact on our ability to properly make judgments and discernments. When our fleshly intentions are affected, and it actually impedes our spiritual intentions, does it not? The children are partakers of flesh and blood. Jesus took part in the same, didn't he? He became fully man and fully God, but he was without sin. But we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. I'm glad to know that we are hid in God, even though we still walk around in this flesh. You know, I've often read the poem. I'll try to find it and read it again, because I think it's apropos for this morning. All of the elect are like Peter. All of the elect are like Peter. Whether you want to accept that fact or not, we're all Peters. Sometimes we Peter out. Maybe that's where that saying came from. I'm Petered out. Peter denied his Lord three times and swore he never knew him. But unlike Judas, he had been elected before time began to salvation. Satan has desired to sift you and you will turn away, but I have prayed for you and you will be okay. Full of fear and anger, Peter denied he knew the Son of God. How many times have we denied him too? Satan has desired to sift us as well. But if Christ has prayed for us, we will never suffer hell. All we like sheep have gone astray, turning everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him, upon Christ, the iniquity of all of his elect. So if the Father has given us to his Son, when asked by Christ, "Lovest thou me?" our answer can only be, "Because thou hast prayed for me." Our only hope is in the work of Christ, not because we've done anything nice. Welcome aboard, Troy Scarborough. Good to see you this morning. I've been out of town the last couple days, so I've kind of missed this time, special time. Before I, the rental properties that I was working on, I didn't have Wi-Fi up there, so I couldn't broadcast. Welcome aboard, Rahel Pudujahati. I was recently talking to someone, and have you ever met someone who tries to put you in a corner? They try to give you a attitude adjustment, or they try to change your way of thinking about something, which is fine. But our foundation must rest upon the Bible. Our foundation must rest upon Christ and him crucified. Our foundation must rest upon Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross, not upon the will of man, not upon the decision that you or I make, not upon our loyalty to Christ or our loyalty even to each other. Our confidence and trust must be wholly in a perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ. What shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Not keeping promises to man, not being a loyal friend, not always doing everything right. We're going to screw up, folks. We're going to screw up. A lot of people don't want to accept the fact that they screw up. The key is, what do we do when we screw up? God brings us to repentance, does he not? That's part of being saved by the amazing grace of God. We must recognize that we are sinners saved by grace, and we are not perfect. There's a lot of people out there that want you to believe that they are totally sinlessly perfect. They're not. We're told in John that if we say we have no sin, we're liars, and the truth is not in us. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Welcome aboard, John Sampson. Have you ever had someone say, "I want you to make a commitment to me that you'll never say anything bad about me"? Commitments are broken, okay? Evidenced by over 58% of the people that live in the United States are divorced and remarried. Evidenced by the fact that probably 65% of the people have committed fornication in their lifetime. You say, "Well, what are you, an antinomian? Are you promoting sin?" No. No, Paul says, "Shall we sin so that grace will abound?" God forbid. God forbid. You are washed. You're clean. All things have become new. But let us not forget that Satan is going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's the prince and the power of the air that works in the children of disobedience. And so we have people that are not saved. We have even people who are reprobate out there attacking us, attacking the children of God. And there's times when we are going to stumble and fall and get in the flesh. I have many times, and I've had to, God has brought me to repentance when that happens. The reason that I'm discussing this morning is that I was brought up in a environment that taught perfection. John Wesley. They taught a second definite work of grace, not just being born again, but then dying out to the old man and becoming wholly, entirely sanctified. Well, actually what was happening is they were becoming petrified. Like petrified wood, depending on their own flesh, rather than upon the amazing grace of God. Some of the people that wanted you to believe that they were the most sanctified and the most holy were the most self-righteous people I've met in my lifetime. Well, our Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. I will ransom from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Jeremiah 50:34. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God didn't just give us temporary life. He gave us everlasting life. He has forgiven us for all of our trespasses, our past, our present, and our future trespasses that we will yet commit, and he will bring us to repentance over. What he starts, he finishes. He's the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He is able to keep us from falling and to present us spotless, not because of our own works. We don't earn our... he's not keeping score up there. He doesn't have a scorecard. Every time we sin, he checks it off, and every time we do a good deed, check it off. I had a medical doctor one time say, that's what it's all about. God's the big scorekeeper in the sky. Every time you commit a trespass, he makes a little check mark. And every time you do something good, he makes a check mark. And if your good outweighs your bad, you'll probably make it. That is heresy. That is absolute heresy. That has no part or parcel of grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was saying, you know, you would never say anything bad about me, would you? He says, you got to promise me you would never say anything bad about me. I said, I'm not going to promise you that. I get in the flesh. I said, on this very phone call, you said bad things about at least three people yourself. Do as I say, not as I do, right? We should try to strive not to say bad things about anybody, even our enemies. We're told to love our enemies, to do good to those who despitefully use us and say all manner of evil against us falsely. But I told this person, I said, I'll tell you what, if anybody calls you up and ask about me, I want you to tell them, you just go talk to Chris. Or you just go talk to Peter. Or you just go talk to David. Or you go just talk to Carl, or you go just talk to whoever. Just go talk to them. Well, that's good advice. That's good counsel. But let me tell you what I told him. I said, if anyone calls and wants to check out Larry Phillips, here's what I want you to tell them. Let it be understood exactly what Larry is. He's a sinner saved by grace. Larry's a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. Larry deserved the wrath of God, but it was placed on Christ instead. When I think of how vile and wretched Larry really is, it gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel and rugged tree and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like Larry. What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did to Larry show. All his praise and worship should sing forth for eternity. Larry deserved to be cast into hell and there to forever go. That's what you tell him, I told him. That's what you tell him. Well, there's a lot of backbiting. There's a lot of that going on. But I'm glad to know who my source is. I'm glad to know where I can get my living water from, that I will never thirst again. I'm glad to know that I don't have to try to be perfect. We're not supposed to be taking oaths. Say yay, yay, and nay, nay. You say, well, what are you saying? Are you condoning sin? Are you condoning lying? No, I'm not condoning it. But what does Scripture say? Let God be true and every man a liar. I want to welcome aboard you guys again. I want to again welcome John Sampson, Ruby Kokar, Troy Sharbrough, Rahel Pujahati, Oscar Graves, Chosen Lee, and Andre Barrows. Good to have you with us this morning. I've been out of town. I had to take some days out of retirement and work on some of my rental properties. get some deferred maintenance done. Well, all men were born and conceived in sin. This is a biblical fact. The only remedy for this sin is the eternal contract. Between the Christ to do, dying on the cross, the work is finished too. Perfect sacrifice was Christ as he hung upon that tree, becoming my sin bearer, dying for me. Born and conceived in sin, yes, that's also true for me, but my sin was atoned for and I was set free. Now I sing praises to my Lord and Savior who granted me this loving eternal favor. Yes, dying in my stead even when I was born and conceived in sin, and the quickening Holy Spirit causing me to be born again. I now can joyfully sing to my Lord and King, who through his perfect sacrifice my eternal life did bring. So, when someone tries to put you in a corner, guess who's in your corner? Guess who's in your corner? And you don't even have to come out slinging your boxing gloves. You know, who was in David's corner with Goliath? You know, only a boy named David, only a rippling brook, only a boy named David. Five little stones he took, and one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round, and one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round, and round and round and round and round. And what happened? Goliath fell down to the ground, didn't he? David took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off. So when somebody tries to put you in the corner and they start laying allegations against you and they start to tell you all the things, you know, start making accusations against you, you know, I had a guy the other day tell me, you don't have to make sure your hair looks good. He says, you're always trying to straighten your hair out when you're on YouTube. Well, hey, you know what? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, right? That's right. it's amazing what people will point out when you're broadcasting. And you know what? Most of it's true. Most of it's true. If we cannot recognize our own weaknesses, our own fleshiness, there's something wrong. If we can't exalt the King and King, he's the only one that's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and wisdom and might. He is the one who is able to open the seals. He's in our corner. He's the one who died. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. It's Christ that died, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He's in our corner. He's in our corner. So this is meant to be an encouragement today. If people are calling you up on the phone and trying to straighten you out, I have a friend of mine who, he said, when somebody asked him, what church do you belong to? He says, I tell him, I belong to the corner. I belong to the round church. They go, the round church? What's that? What denomination is that? He says, the round church, and by the way, he just came on, the guy I'm talking about. I'm talking about you, Rick. Rick told me, he says, I belong to the round church because they can never put me in a corner. I like that. I like that. Brother Rick Batorik, he just jumped on board. Was your ears burning, Rick? People always wanting to try to put somebody in a corner. Ah, I gotcha. You did this wrong. You did this wrong. You did this wrong. There's one guy on YouTube that has posted 18 videos on the false prophet Larry Phillips. Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you what. Only God knows who are his. The foundation of God standeth sure. He knows who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I've been accused of being an antinomian. Larry's lawless. Well, if you mean I'm under grace, yeah, I'm an antinomian. I am under grace. I'm not under the law. Do I believe in keeping the commandments of God? Absolutely. Do I keep the commandments of God perfectly? Absolutely not. Do I like the fact that I don't keep the commandments of God perfectly? No, I do not. But I'm being honest in saying I am not perfect. There's only one perfect man, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God that took away the sins of all of the world of his elect. And so this morning, I hope this has been edifying. And so when somebody comes at you, okay, just remember that song, Only a Boy Named David. Only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, and five little stones he took. Only a boy named David. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round, and round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And the next thing you know, Goliath was lying down on the ground. Good morning, Rick. So let us remember that God's in our corner this morning. God bless you all. Have a blessed weekend. And maybe you ought to take the advice of Rick Batorik. Okay, maybe you ought to take his advice and become a member of the round church. Okay, that way people won't be putting you in the corner all the time. Okay, We're for sound doctrine. We're for teaching, and pointing out sin. We do not uphold adultery and fornication and murder and theft and dishonoring parents. We don't uphold any of that. We don't uphold lying, but we also have to tell the truth that our only hope is in the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, not in anything that we've done, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Well, God be with you guys, and I see we're on the other side too. I missed you on over on YouTube, Rick. So I'm glad you popped in on Facebook, and we could gossip about you this morning. But it's all good, Rick. It's all good. Okay, Rick is a very good dear friend, I must say. We all have a blessed day. God bless.